Bill Nye, the Science Guy, will be your host as you take a tour of our solar system on the Sagan Planet Walk. This is a walking model of our solar system with distances scaled down to 1,062 feet. This tour will take about 10 minutes of straight walking time. Bill Nye will give you 1 minute updates for each stop. Hit pause on your media player in between stops. Begin your journey at the Sun and walk past the 8 main plane planets, arriving at Pluto, where it orbits the Sun at fantastic distances. As you walk from planet to planet, think about how much space there is in space. This model of the solar system is named in honor of Carl Sagan, a Cornell astronomer who quite possibly changed the world by giving us a new perspective on our place in the universe. We hope this model and your journey from the Sun to the dwarf planet Pluto gives you a new perspective on your place in the cosmos.
This is the Sun, and this is where our journey begins. The Sun is a nuclear fusion reactor, and we depend on it to live here on Earth. Everything that lives on Earth depends in one way or another on energy from the Sun. It's 150 million kilometers, 93 million miles from here. It's the closest star in the sky, and from where we stand, the brightest. The Sun is just one of 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. It's pretty ordinary, but to us, it's the most important star in the sky. As we head out from the Sun, the first planet we come to is this one, Mercury. It's barely bigger than our moon, and it's made mostly of magnetic iron. If you could see it closely, you'd see it's pockmarked with craters, a lot like the moon, but it's its own planet, and it goes around the sun about every 88 Earth days, and it turns so slowly that one side will be baked at 400 degrees Celsius, while the backside in the dark will be minus 150 degrees, below zero. It's a wild place. It's the first planet we come to, just 58 million kilometers from the Sun. So continue your journey away from the Sun, and we'll look for you at the planet Venus. This is the planet Venus. It's always hot here. In fact, on the surface of Venus, it's hot enough to melt lead. And that heat is held in by the greenhouse effect. There are gases in the Venusian atmosphere that hold in heat and make it rain sulfuric acid. That acid never falls on the surface, though, because it's so hot there, it boils away before it lands. Venus seems to be a lesson for us. It's a place where the greenhouse effect has run away and kept the surface of the planet too hot for anything that we've ever heard of to live. Well, it's on to our home planet, the planet Earth. As you approach from space, your first impression of the Earth is white clouds, white polar ice caps, brown continents, and some bluish substance that covers about two-thirds of it. Well, that's water. And Earth is the water planet. It's what sustains all living things here. Yet when you look at the Earth from this distance, it's hard to imagine there's intelligent life there. But yet, here you are walking on the planet walk. It's an amazing place. It's where everyone who's ever lived has carried out his or her entire life. Think about it as you walk past this pale blue dot on to Mars. This is Mars, the red planet. Well, it's really kind of an orange planet. And that color comes from the surface, which is covered with rust, the same iron oxide that you might find in an old iron skillet or a rusty hinge here on Earth. Anyway, Mars was once covered with water, huge lakes of it. We can see where rivers used to flow and ponds formed and where water seeped into the ground. The water's all gone now, but maybe one time in the distant past, there was enough water here to sustain life. And maybe some of us, some astronauts, cosmonauts, or taikonauts, will go to Mars and find fossils of plants or animals that were once alive. And if we do, we will, dare I say it, change the world, because it will mean that life can happen almost anywhere. Well, at least in places other than here on Earth. So take a good long look at Mars and think about what it would be like to live here. This is Jupiter, a giant made of gas. As the solar system condensed out of dust and gas, Jupiter was almost big enough to become a star in its own right, but not quite. As it is, it's the largest planet in the solar system, and its surface is still covered with gas that moves around in giant weather systems. As you may have heard of the giant red spot on Jupiter, it's a storm that's been raging for a few centuries. Now, there's so much jostling of atoms and molecules on Jupiter that this planet generates twice as much energy from the inside as it receives from the sun. It's a wild place. Perhaps even wilder is our next destination, Saturn. Saturn is 1.4 billion kilometers from the sun. Billion kilometers. It's a long way. Saturn takes 30 years to go around the sun. It's cold, but perhaps most well known because it has these beautiful rings. The rings seem to be made of the same stuff as moons, but there's so much movement of the spinning planet that they never form into a single body. We can see them easily with telescopes, but notice that without telescopes, Saturn is just another bright object. You might think it's a star, but it's actually the other gas giant in our solar system. In fact, if you had a gigantic bathtub, Saturn would float. It's a wild place, and its rings are beautiful. From here, we go even farther from the sun, where it's even colder, to the planet Uranus. This is the planet Uranus. Out here, we're 2.9 billion kilometers from the sun. Billions and billions of kilometers out to where it's just crazy cold. Now imagine looking back from here and seeing that tiny dot we call Earth. It would be almost impossible to see. And so it was almost impossible to see Uranus until the 1700s when it was discovered by William Herschel. It's a remarkable place. It seems to be made of about the same stuff as the planets closer to the sun, but it's fantastically cold. There's one more unusual thing about Uranus. It's as though it's on its side. Its axis of spin points back toward the sun instead of straight up or straight down out of the solar system the way the Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn do. No one's exactly sure why this is, but maybe Uranus was hit by another planet billions of years ago. It's a wild thing to think about. Whatever happened, it's a fascinating place, and we don't know much about it because it's so fantastically far away. Speaking of which, let's go even farther away. On to Neptune. This is Neptune, almost 4.5 billion kilometers from the sun. When you get this far out, it's always cold. Neptune doesn't seem to have any solid surface. Instead, it's got clouds made of hydrogen and helium. There might be crystals of natural gas floating in it. We don't know that much about it because it's so far away. But we're headed even farther. We're going out to that remarkable place we call Pluto. This is Pluto. Is it a planet? Well, it depends on how you look at it. But it's definitely a place. It's made of rocky ice, and if it were discovered today, probably no one would call it a planet, because unlike the other planets in the main plane, it's too small. Instead, it's something else. I like to call it an ice dwarf, or perhaps one day it will be considered the first of the Plutonian planets. Anyway, it doesn't have enough gravity to have much of an effect on other planets nearby. And there may be thousands and thousands of Pluto-like objects out there. We don't know much about it, and perhaps that's the point, because the New Horizons mission is on the way to Pluto right now to learn more. Try to remember that you are taking this planet walk today because New Horizons doesn't get to Pluto until the year 2015. We'll get some fantastic Plutonian pictures, and maybe we'll have a better picture of our place in the universe. Thanks for taking the tour with us. And now, to the stars.